shot, play action, steps back in the pocket, being chased, hit, down he goes. Marco Coleman got it to the 35-yard line.
Welcome to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper and Marco Coleman will break down today's Jaguars game and take a look around the rest of the NFL, as well as take your calls, tweets, and Facebook questions. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Sonny's Barbecue, Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Carrie Limousine, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank.
Let's get the show started.
Here are Marco Coleman and Cole Pepper.
And we welcome you in, Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show here. After the Jaguars lose to the Houston Texans 20-13, we start the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show off with Marco's money player. Who was money today for the Jaguars?
MJD.
Getting to be same song, huh?
I mean, the guy, you know, it's 255 yards total offensive yards. He had 130 of those yards. Mm. That's over 50%. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the guy, to me at this point, far as for the franchise, I think you limit the amount of carries that he has. I think he's already solidified himself as a Pro Bowler. Get him a few carries here and there, but let some other guys carry the load. See who else can stick, will be able to help out the running game in the future. You know what MJD can do. To allow him to be out there continuously for the rest of the season with it not being anything on the line, the possibility of him getting hurt, a career-ending injury, I wouldn't have him out there a whole lot more the rest of the season.
All right, so that is Marco's money player, and we will remind you that this portion of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic. Here's the number to call, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351, and we will certainly take your calls and comments. You can also tweet them to me at Cole Pepper if you like, and should be a spirited scoreboard show to be sure. So let's take time out, gather ourselves, and get ready for the calls right after this. Season ticket holders, get paid at the pump when you buy 10 gallons or more of Gate gasoline. Show your Jaguars rewards card and receipt to the cashier for your coupon worth $2 in Jagbucks, redeemable for game day concessions and merchandise. We're back with more right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. All right, Marco, you ready to take some of these calls?
Let's get it going.
All right, let's start it off with Lucas in Mandarin, who's up first here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Lucas, you're up.
Hey.
Hey, Luke.
I'm the first caller. I just want to say that they shouldn't have pulled Gabbard. I think it's clear that when you pulled McCown from that Jets game, that you knew that Gabbard was going to be your starter and your developmental quarterback for the rest of the year. You knew that. So why would you pull Gabbard when he's struggling? That right there made me question a lot about our leadership. Ryan Leaf, sole quarterback coach. We need to clean house as far as the offensive coaching staff goes. And I'll take my response off the air, please.
All right, Lucas, thanks a lot. Marco, you think that they absolutely should not have taken Gabbard out. The only time, philosophically, when I think you should take out a rookie quarterback is when he is so overwhelmed that he now is in survival mode where he can't really process the stuff and actually learn from it. You know, and I don't know that Gabbard was there. It's tough to say from watching on television, what the stands, the press box, what have you, whether that's where he was. But there is a time where you have to, for his own mental protection, pull a kid out. And six sacks and the way things were going, might dropped a touchdown. It might have gotten to that point. But you should always leave the quarterback in as long as he can continue to grow and learn as a rookie.
Well, I mean, that's part of learning. I mean, to actually face that type of adversity. How will he know how to recover from it if he's never been in that situation? That's almost like your child. You know, you want them, you do your best to tell them this is not good, that's not bad, but there are certain experiences that they have to have in order to grow. And this is a perfect opportunity. Here it is. I mean, how many times have we seen outstanding quarterbacks like Brady and Peyton Manning throw three interceptions during the course of a game? Then in the fourth quarter, they recover to win a game. And how do you know how to get yourself out of that if you don't go through that process?
But the other side of this is that it's not just – if he had thrown three interceptions, yeah, keep him in there. Let him deal with it. Let him – but when he's been hit, you know, sacked six times, hit a bunch of other times, frankly, you know, when they showed a shot of him after J.J. Watt sacked him, he looked shell-shocked to me.
Well, that's the thing. He wasn't playing bad in my I didn't see a reason to take him out. Okay, yeah, he was getting hit. One of the things he does have to learn, which we've talked about, is how to play under pressure when the rush is coming. He got to the point to where he was watching the rush early in the game. After the first time he got hit, now he's watching the rushers. So now how else will he be able to get better at that if he's not in the game? Standing there watching somebody else, you have to watch, you know, actually have to feel those guys coming at you to know how to maneuver yourself around the pocket. Not necessarily run, but just a perfect example. Yates, a guy that hasn't played much. I know he hasn't practiced much. He's been third down, third guy.
Yep.
He did a better job of just having some pocket awareness, how to move around the pocket, than a guy that's been played six, seven games this season. So he has to get that experience. Taking him out, I don't think helped him at all.
There's no doubt that Blaine Gabbert has quite a bit he needs to improve on. But he's got the physical tools to do that. And, I mean, I think what he's got to do is get better at pocket awareness, as you mentioned. I think he reads defenses fairly well. He doesn't, for a rookie, he's not making a bunch of just totally boneheaded decisions on where to go with the football.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the strong arm. I think he needs to learn how to throw the changeup instead of throwing the fastball all the time.
Right.
And most importantly, and you've been on harping on this for a while, don't look at the rush.
Okay.
It's all about sense and feel. And and he's got to learn to trust that, I think.
That's just like riding a bike. You can do it with your eyes closed once you've gotten to where you've fallen off of it a couple times and you skint your knee up. You got to get hit in the mouth a couple times and know, okay, well, it doesn't hurt that bad. You know, if the end result is going to be a touchdown. If I can stand in here, learn to stand in there just an extra second. Now, he was under duress the whole game, and a couple of times it wasn't the it wasn't the offensive line's fault. And sometimes it was the coverage by the wide receivers, but sometimes it was his fault by watching the rush. You know, by watching those guys, now you slow yourself down to where you can't bail out because there are possibly guys open you could throw it to, but you can't. But playing and seeing it, going through it time and time again is the only way to get better at that.
He's also got to have better receivers. He's got to have an offense that is more cohesive. You've got to have guys catching the football.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I mean, the Jaguars have had at least 5 touchdowns dropped this year that I can remember. They've had at least 26 drops over the season. Of not just like a tough guy got a hand on the ball. I'm not talking Brad Meester not catching deflected. I'm talking about actual drops by receivers on balls they should catch.
Yeah, and I think it's about that time for him to step into the type of role. I'm not saying demean your teammates, but step up and demand that they help you out. You know, you are a rookie, but at this point in time, you played enough games to where you can stand up and say, look here, Mercedes, you need to catch this damn ball. I'm sick of you dropping balls. You're making me look bad. I'm throwing you a perfect ball, and now my stats are jacked up, and they're talking about me like I'm the issue. It's you. So, I mean, he's at the point now where I think he can do that. I'm not, like I said, I'm not saying a demean.
You think he could do that after he got benched then?
Man, he's going to have to. You know, it wasn't his fault. He didn't put himself on the bench. You know, even saying something to the offensive line. I mean, you see time a guy like Phillip Rivers, you're watching now. I don't know how many times I've seen him bark at his offensive line when he gets hit a couple of times. You know, and that's what it takes. If you're a true leader, make the guys around you stand up and be accountable.
All right, 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Big John, who's here at the stadium. Big John, you're up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, I got 2 questions. One is about their defense and their offense. I think the defense in the first quarter did a really good job.
I thought the defense was pretty darn good the whole game. You're talking about giving up 215 total yards and only allowed 2 of 15 on third down conversions to the Texans. With 5 starters out, I'd give an A to the defensive effort.
That was actually a really good thing because I saw that second down on the first quarter, he slammed him and he got that touchdown just by a fumble.
Yeah, well, the defense outscored the offense today too, by the way.
And I have, what was it called? I think they should work on the offense just a little better because I know if they're trying. I mean, they gave up a throw on 2 downs and not putting Maurice Jones-Drew in.
Yeah, and you're talking about when they were down near the end zone and.
They had 2 yards and I would have put Maurice Jones-Drew in there and ran him on the outside to get that touchdown.
All right, Big John, thanks for the call.
Big John.
Sounds like he's out in the middle of a party in the parking lot here.
Big John is a young. Knower, he knows about the football game. He recognized some serious things that need to take place.
More mojo.
You figure you thought it was enough. It was 130 out of the 255 yards
right,
I had.
Right.
He accounted for it. It is.
By the way, 18 carries for Maurice Drew.
But I actually think at this time, as I mentioned before, you need to go ahead and start scaling that back just because of the future
now,
and his body
point,
and, durable,
yes.
and the durability.
I don't disagree with that, yeah. The problem is they don't have enough guys who can run the football right
well,
now.
Well, I mean, here's an opportunity to bring in some guys. I don't know if they have anybody on the practice squad that runs the ball, but take a look at some guys. I wouldn't have a problem with even having MJD in act. I mean, I don't want to mess up his opportunity, to be, you know, hold records mm-hmm. within the Jaguars. But at the same time, he may not understand, but is, you know, protecting him to make sure that we get him for another 3-4 seasons.
Here's Eric with a tweet. First and goal on the 3-yard line. Why not run MJD 4 times?
I have to agree because nobody can catch the ball.
Yeah, just run. I mean, you run him in. At this point in time,
you actually, you know, having a quarterback like Tim Tebow would help.
How would things have – don't even get me going. How would things go, though? I mean, you're talking about at that play, if they just run Maurice 4 times and he gains 2 feet each time he's into the end zone, and then instead of 10-7, it's 14-7, and – even if the rest of the scoring goes the same in the first half, it's 20-14, and all of a sudden, after Scobie's field goal, now it's 20-17, and all you have to do is get in the field goal range, kick it. You know, it's just settling for field goals not going to be enough, and that's been an issue with this team. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Gary in Mandarin, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Gary, how you doing?
G.
Great. How about you guys?
Good, G.
First of all, I've got 3-4 things. First, vets, past, present, future, thank you.
Yes,
today
amen.
Was
yeah. Amen.
Definitely primarily about the vets. Thank you, guys, as a son and a stepson. So, two vets. Appreciate all you do and will do and continue to do. Number two, I've been in the same seat, you guys, since 1995. North end zone, fourth row. So, we see, and I think I'm speaking collectively for a lot of people. I think you nailed it pretty much, Marco, on the good, the bad, and the ugly. Unfortunately, it seems like the good, the bad, and the ugly is kind of like a broken record and has been for 3 or 4 years. It's the same things. And I hate it. I think the defense deserves a standing ovation for what they're doing, what they did with all the holes that had to be plugged. You know, the defense is doing a great job considering the challenges that they have in front of them, specifically all the injured guys. But you know what? Here's my main point. Jack Del Rio, Dirk, I support these guys. I love them. I'm a lifer, right? I'm a lifer. I'm a Jacksonville native, and I'm a lifer when it comes to the Jaguars. Tonight, I think Jack and Dirk and probably the rest of the offensive coaching staff need to submit their letters of resignation right now. Put it in Wayne Weaver's hands. Then Wayne can make a decision. But based on the performance of this offensive or the offensive side of this team the last several years, and we could go down all the list of things, whether it's clock management, whether it's the quarterback, whatever. You know, guys, there's notebooks full of things we could talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But if Jack and Dirk truly believe in this team, it's time for them to step up and say, you know what? My stuff's not working. I resign. Here's my letter of resignation, Wayne. Wayne then is empowered to do what he wants to do. He keeps him to the end of the year. We've had those discussions. Doesn't make sense to change coaches midseason. I get all that. But at this point in time, this stuff is not working, and we're frustrated. We're all very, very frustrated. I think Blaine is the guy. I go back like you guys. I watch the tape, you know, and we're seeing these nice flashes and all. But clearly, we have – Cole has issues. We have some issues on our offense, and it's not getting fixed. So you know what, Jack? You know what, Dirk? I love you guys. I really, really do. But I'm throwing down. Submit your letters tonight. Then let Wayne have the power to do what he wants to do about looking forward. But clearly, this year, from a playoff perspective, is done. And we're going to make a change. And clearly, I don't know if it's going to be just the offensive coordinator or just the coach or just, you know, whatever. But here we are, and we were talking, again, all the homies there in the north end zone, and hello, all you guys out there. I know you're listening.
What's the section in a row? You got to throw that out
123.
There.
Section 123. Fourth row, right on the aisle.
There it is. Big
and
up.
We've been there since 1995, like I said.
Gary, I think you are probably right. There are a lot of folks who would agree with your sentiment. I can give you pretty good guarantee that there aren't going to be letters of resignation given. The owner doesn't need a letter of resignation to make a decision. Right?
I know that.
So
I know that.
But I don't think you're alone in some of your sentiments. So thank you for the call today.
Thank you very much for a great job, guys. God bless you all veterans out there. Thank you for all you do.
All right, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Fans, just text BBQ to 72239 and enter for a chance to win the Sunday's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You can hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the next Jaguars home game. An injury update, plus more of your calls and tweets when we come back. 800-355-NFL1 or tweet to me at Cole Pepper. This is the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches available at Jacobs Jewelers in Jacksonville, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Lorraine's Diamond Tree in Middleburg, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. No injuries reported from the game for the Jaguars.
That's
so if
good.
You want to, yeah, there's a benefit. Jaguars lead the league with 17 players on the injured reserve list.
Wow.
And I will say that I would not be surprised to see a few of the veterans who have been dealing with injuries, playing with injuries here, wind up on the IR in the in the next coming week or two.
I don't think that a lot of these vets, other than Maurice Jones-Drew, really are in a position to do that, considering the instability of the coach. Now, if there's a new coach that possibly comes here, now, you shutting it down right now?
I'm not talking about them shutting it down. It's not the player's decision to go on IR. I think.
Well, I mean, like I said, if you can play, you need to you play. If you're playing right now,
I
think you better play.
But listen, there are medical decisions to be made with guys. I'm not going to paint it too precise a brush here. I don't want to make it too obvious for everybody. But there are some guys who've been playing with injuries that, you know, have not kept them out of the lineup or have kept them out of the lineup to some point. And if you're an older guy, there's what's the benefit now? If you're signed to a contract, you're going to be, whether you're a younger guy, older, whatever, there's only so much
keeping
you can
do. Job. I mean, now you're impressing somebody. You're
again,
trying
not
to keep
the
your
player's
job.
Decision. You've been there.
Yeah, I mean, but if they're out there now, I mean, hey,
some of them are.
You better talk to convince Mike Ryan that, hey, my job hinges on me being out on this darn field, buddy. You're going to keep your job.
Well, some of them have been on the field and some of them have not. That's the other side of this. By the way, Wednesday, November 30th, the Auto Spot Tire Pros at 9718 Touchton Road invite you to join them for Cookies with the Jaguars Rookies from noon till 2. They'll be signing autographs, sharing cookies, and giving you a chance to win an autographed football and club seats to the Monday night game against the Chargers. All right, this portion of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show brought to you by Isoborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine. Let's get back to some calls at 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Bob on the south side, who's up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Bob, how you doing?
Bob.
Hi, guys. With 7 minutes left to go, you take the quarterback out. You've got one touchdown would tie the score. Wouldn't they get more out of at least giving the guy the chance to try and get that? Because when you pull the quarterback and do that, to me, when I'm sitting here, they've raised the white flag, and I thought you played from the echo of the bell to the echo of the game ending. And I think that was the stupidest move that this guy, supposedly the head coach, has done. When you clean house, I think you also need to get rid of the guy who's burning the pots in the kitchen, also known as Gene Smith.
All right. Again,
you said burning the pots.
Yeah, appreciate the call. I have a disagreement over with people. People who are going to blame it on the general manager. I don't think that's the root of the problem. But some people will have a different opinion, and you're entitled to your wrong opinion.
Hey, I think they should put Jackson DeVille as the head coach. How about that?
Why, because he just brought pizza in here for you? Is that why? Hey, by the way, Jackson, good job on the double-flagged bungee jump in honor of the veterans. That was good stuff by you. I wanted to see a little more Arian Foster action today, but I guess the veteran thing kind of overwhelmed some of the opportunity. The Gatling gun was out in full force, though. Good work. And the play.
There it is.
I didn't see the play. You know, hold on. Put Jackson here on.
Yeah,
here
we
got to
get him on.
Put the cat on.
Yeah. Because I mean, if anybody should have the right to not feel really well about what's going on, it's a guy that puts his life on the line each and every weekend. My man, Jayville.
I'm a little sore. I'm not gonna lie. I've already taken my my post game candy, ibuprofen. Taking four of those already. But it always hurts a little bit more after the loss. But yeah, that was a tough one.
Yeah, doing it for the love of the Duval. I mean, you do an outstanding job, and everybody, I know, I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate everybody that came out today. I mean, it was the crowd when we kind of started getting back into it. I don't know what the numbers were, but they got loud, and they were there. They were ready for the comeback, and yeah. it looked like we had a chance. It looked like Luke was going to do it, but. Just fell a little bit short there.
All right, you got something special lined up for Monday Night Football?
We got.
Can you divulge that here on this air?
Well, because it's a night game and flyovers. The military has a rule about flyovers at night. Mm. I'm going to be the flyover.
You're the flyover.
The flyover.
All right.
So I'm
a cat with wings.
Off the scoreboard, right at the end of the anthem, I'm coming off with an American flag hanging below me.
Nice.
Out to midfield, and then. And then hopefully we take care of these charges that we're watching here right now.
Yeah, they're leading Denver 10-7 right now as we speak. So
yeah, how the call's been so far?
Pretty spirited,
pretty chipper, pretty chipper.
Spirited.
Let me read the board there.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Really? You're not allowed to say what they're saying on the offline there.
Yeah.
Ah, man, it's tough. Right. It's tough, man. I don't know what to say.
Just keep up the good work.
By the way, I did call timeout at the end there.
You did.
I did.
Okay, I didn't see that.
I was on to the white paint. I called timeout on the fourth and two.
They weren't listening to you?
But the ref didn't see it.
Apparently, by the way, I'm seeing a report here that Jack was asked about that after the game by the media, and he said that he asked Dirk Cutter if he wanted a timeout there, and Cutter said no.
No. Hmm. No, I get it. Hey, they were trying to catch him off guard. They had a play called. Hit the hands.
Okay.
But I was calling timeout, just for the record.
So good.
But the ref didn't see it.
We'll keep that in mind this offseason when other
rules change. Rules change. Mascots can call timeouts.
See if we can get the competition committee on that. All right. Jackson DeVille stopping in here.
There it is.
Bringing
my
pizza.
Man.
Good work by you. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's see. Where am I going here? I'm going to go to James in Riverside, who's up next on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. James, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I want to change it up a little bit, talk about special teams. I'm unhappy with their coverage today. They let Jones or Ford, can't remember which one, running all over them, had a lot of return yardage. And I also want to talk about Mike Thomas on punt returns. He seems to just kind of float back there and wait for the ball to come to him. Anything that's kicked maybe 4 or 5 yards ahead of him, he just never seemed to run and go get the ball and try to save that yardage. He just kind of lets it bounce and roll back, and we lose 10 or 15 yards on that. And I'm trying to figure out, since when is Mike Thomas the only option we have, and why are they continuing to let him do it?
Well, Cecil Shorts, he wasn't able to get it done. No confidence in him and in his ability to field it. I don't think there's really anyone else that has the ability to make a play after they receive Daisy, but I'm not sure if he's a good punt catcher, because it's a lot
more
different.
Of a kick returner.
It's a lot different trying to catch a punt than it is on a kick. I mean, that ball is really, really difficult to catch when it's up in the air. You got to have somebody that really knows how to handle that ball on the punt return. If nothing else, even if a guy can't return it, you got to have somebody at least can catch it.
Rasheen was the hands guy for punts, and obviously he's on the injured reserve list. You start to, listen, this time of the year, things start to get thin when you start looking for your third-team punt returner.
Yeah. But I would imagine some of the other guys that they have that are in the defensive backfield have had some experience with catching punts. I would have to look at them, pretty sure.
Cox did some in college, but he's IR. On the injured reserve list. Maybe, I don't know if Ubody or
Middleton
or one of these guys. Listen, that has been a problem this year, but you start running down the laundry list. That's about number 7 on the list.
Yeah, but the special teams did not perform well.
No, not today.
They didn't help them with the field position battle. when you know that you're having some struggles offensively, you defense stood up. Then on the other facet, in the special teams, they got to make plays or at least not be a problem, hindrance, you know, not allow these big returns. And then also the you had the deflected kick also, you know, the pressure on the punt. The guys didn't block. So special teams today was not a good effort on their part.
All right, James, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Paul Keystone Heights, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Paul, how you doing?
All right, how about you guys today?
Good, Paul.
First, I want to say thanks to all the vets. As a former vet and three sons that are either vets or in service now, I think everybody does a great job there.
Yep.
As far as the Jaguars are concerned, I know everybody's picking on Gabbert. The man's trying his best. His numbers are 40-45% completions. If receivers who have balls hitting them in the hands and hitting them in the chest learn to catch their balls that are paying millions of dollars to catch, the man's numbers go to 75%, and we have a different score ball game. The receivers need to learn to hold on to what hits them. They got to do their job. They can't just say, well, he's a rookie. I mean, come on, guys. This is a team game, and everybody's got to do their part.
Yeah, I absolutely think that the part of the issue this year has been the guys haven't, you know, too many drops. And I don't have the stats in terms of historical drops year to year. But, again, I'm counting this year 26 drops, 5 of them for touchdowns, 11 of those would have been first downs.
Mm.
Right? Not just dropping a 3-yard pass on first and 10. Right? That you can overcome that. When you drop a third down pass, when you drop a touchdown.
Crucial moments.
I mean, it changes the game. It changes the way the flow of the game. It's a real issue, I think, for the Jaguars. The only guy who seems to be able to catch the football
is Mr. Dillard.
Jared Dillard.
And the thing that Dillard does, he catches with his hands. I watch these guys time and time again. Now, Mercedes attempts to catch with his hands. I don't know what his problem is. I don't know if his hands hurt or whatever. But he's just not catching the ball altogether.
I think it's in his head now.
But a guy like, yeah, I think his confidence might be a little shaky. And Hill, all he does is wait for the ball to come to his body. That's not the proper technique to catch the ball. It's more times that he allows the ball to get to his body than he does try to catch it with his hands. That's the way you catch a football. And it's not that, you know, and that's where you leave too many ways that you can bobble the ball, bounce off your pads. And that goes to coaching. That goes to why do you have this guy out here catching the ball when he can't catch? He shows you that he doesn't have the proper technique to catch the ball. Not only him, also Thomas. Thomas does the same thing. Those guys allow the balls to come to them as opposed to with their hands going and getting the ball.
Yep. And that's been an issue all year long. Paul, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Steinmart, 6 Jacksonville location. Steinmart, more fashion, less price. We'll come back with a carry of the day, plus more of your calls. This is the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show right here on Jaguars Radio. We're back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Steinmart, 6 Jacksonville location. Steinmart, more fashion, less price. Time for the carry of the day presented by Waste Pro. Let Waste Pro USA carry the load for you. Where are you going for the carry of the day?
MJD with his 29-yard scamper. I mean, this dude bounced out. That was one run where he pretty much just took on the whole defense by himself.
Which probably figuratively feels like it's been happening a lot this year.
Exactly. I mean, really, if you take him out of the offense, there is no offense. I mean, hats off to him. When you talk about rewarding someone, he has been all that they can hang their hat on. You know, I hope that he has an opportunity. He gets voted into that Pro Bowl this year.
Yeah, and would certainly be something that would be worthwhile. But when the game ended, Maurice Drew was leading the NFL in rushing. That is not held up. LeSean McCoy just passed him. I saw a stat here earlier based on what he did in the game today. But when the game ended, for a brief time there, Maurice Jones-Drew was the NFL's leading rusher. Of course, Adrian Peterson's injured. Mm-hmm. McFadden's been injured. So,
he's doing an outstanding job, you know, especially knowing that teams are stacking, putting the whole front up there. I mean, you also had to give some love to the offensive line and definitely to Mr. Greg Jones that are also helping him get all that yardage. So, great job in the running game.
800-355-NFL1. Go to Ryan in Cincinnati, Ohio, who's up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard.
The OH-10?
Yeah, the old OH-10.
How you guys doing tonight?
All right.
Oh, good, good. Well, I was calling. I had two questions. The first one was regarding Gene Smith. I've heard a lot of people, you know, discussing whether or not Jack will be fired throughout the year. And I think, by and large, most of us agree that coaching changes have to be made. I guess my first question, though, was in response to that, a lot of people have said about Gene not getting re-upped with his contract. I didn't know what you guys thought about that. And then my second question was regarding, I know you said you heard a report earlier as to the timeout that was called. I didn't know if you've heard anything about like an official release on the whole swapping out Blaine for Luke.
Well, the only comment that Del Rio made after the game was to say, with Jeff Loggeman, you know, to say that Blaine's our starter. We wanted to get a spark by putting Luke in there, and
okay.
We'll worry about the rest of it later. So, listen, there's no question. If you're going to go forward, you got to go forward with the rookie.
Yeah.
But if
right.
you know, now as far as the Del Rio v. Gene Smith decision, listen, for those who think that Gene Smith should go, here would be my retort. What was the – you would get rid of him if you think the guy doesn't know what he's doing or has not been good at – he's not been productive in terms of what his charge has been. His
right.
charge has been to improve the roster. Right? That's
right.
basically his job. So in the offseason, what was the biggest problem with this team?
The defense.
The defense.
Without a doubt. So what does he do? He goes out and gets Paul Posluszny. He gets.
No, and truthfully speaking, I mean, Cole, that's I completely 100% agree.
Well, and let me just lay this out for other. Let me just lay this out for other people, just so everybody kind of knows where I stand on
okay,
this thing.
Okay, right, right.
He goes out gets Paul Posluszny,
right.
Clint Session, DeJuan Landry, Matt Roth, John Chick,
brings
Drew Coleman,
on.
Dwight Lowry, Ashton Yabody.
Right, there it
right?
is.
I mean,
exactly.
Right, when I don't have any doubt that Gene Smith can identify talent.
Right.
So to me that should kind of end that question. If you recognize that he knows talent, he has made this roster better based on the moves that he has made. And listen,
but I guess the thing I'm afraid of is the potential for now obviously, you know, I'm basing this off of, you know, fans and you know, people like us, you know, we're not obviously necessarily in with the social pipeline of the organization, but I mean, because you know, the thing is I've heard a lot of people say that when Gene Smith took over before 2009, what were our biggest needs? Offensive line, defensive end, wide receiver, and then potentially quarterback. Mm-hmm. Which ones of those have been fixed? And I completely agree that, you know, this is a process that, you know, Eugene Monroe, he might not have looked great in the preseason, but he's come on strong in the second half.
Eugene Monroe has shown this year that you can play with him and win with him as a left
right.
as a left tackle. No doubt about that.
So,
Alualu
has
been terrific, you know,
right.
playing on one leg basically this year.
Do you think he's going to IR?
I don't know about that. I think that as you know, I think there are other guys who are probably more likely
right.
than him, but he's been playing on one leg all year. So,
right.
I mean, really, again, this will play itself out. I just hope I just hope that the Jaguars don't make a decision and get rid of somebody who is a valuable part of this equation.
Well, from what we understand, it was more his situation is the loyalty to the guys that work for him.
Oh,
also.
In terms of why he turned down the contract.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Because he didn't think if nobody else was being offered that he should take that. So,
right, and the final thing I was going to add in there, and I appreciate all your guys' all your answers and patience, was regarding, you know, Gene Smith and the future, though, is, you know, kind of as I don't know where I read it, but I know I definitely heard it the other day, is that when GMs have been hired on and they've been allowed to pick their coaches, you know, they're much more successful than coaches that they inherit.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I think that's probably accurate. I haven't seen stats of that, but I think that's probably accurate.
Right.
And I think it makes sense logically that if you're going to keep the general manager around, when you hire the coach, you ask for his input, right? I mean, that would seem to be a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, I would agree.
All right, well, guys, I definitely appreciate it.
All right, thanks for the call from Cincinnati. 800-355.
Yeah, that's why I didn't understand the move to change the general manager and not change the coach at the same time. I mean, you know, that was a question. I just didn't understand that one also. I mean, usually if you get rid of general manager, normally the coach goes too.
Yeah, that typically happens, although not always. But yeah.
It seemed like a more
timelines out of whack a little bit. That they didn't have the same. They weren't the wheels weren't turning at the same rate.
Right. And it's hard to, have Jack accountable or hold both guys accountable for the season because of the time frame in which they're here. You know, one guy, the quarterback, the coach has been here for 9 years, and here this Gene's only really had three, and he's got to deal with the hand that he was dealt as it pertains to the coaching staff preparing or coaching the players that he's picking. You know what I mean? He's picking these young guys looking for them to progress within a three-year period. Now, how far have these guys actually gone, most of the guys he's taught? And it's questionable as to where they are at this point.
And as one coach mentioned at one point, when you bring in players, you're bringing in lumps of clay, and it's up to the coaches to mold them.
Exactly.
And that's what it is when you bring in drafted players and young players and so forth. All right, we'll take timeout. Come back, more of your calls, tweets as well. You can tweet to me at Cole Tepper, and you can dial us up at 800-355-NFL1. This is the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Jaguars lose to the Houston Texans today, fall to 3-8 on the season. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. A couple more calls before we call it a night. Let's go to Dave in Daytona, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight, man? It's been a while since I got talked to you. It's been a Pittsburgh game anyway.
Right.
I just wanted to talk to you guys about you're talking about Gene Smith and how they beefed up the defense and stuff. And being a all-around football fan, I just want to know how they put a lot of stock in Blaine Gabbert. And so far, he's kind of – I don't think he's really – stepped up to the plate. You know, you got to look at a guy like Andy Dalton in Cincinnati, and Cincinnati's right in the hunt of things, and Cam Newton and guys like that, So it seems like they've put a lot of stock in this guy, and he hasn't really stepped up to the plate as far as, they expected out of him in Jacksonville. And he's not all to blame, of course, but from the performance today and him sitting down and they bring a second string guy in and mop the game up or whatever, I wonder where the team's really going.
Well,
in the direction.
Yeah, that's a great question in terms of direction. In my opinion, Gabbert has done about what I expect most rookie quarterbacks who start in the NFL to do, which is struggle here and there. I did not expect to have so many drops of passes this year.
Not like right? They've been dropped.
If they had not,
goodness.
There would be some. But if they had not, if they've dropped half the number of passes they dropped this year, then wouldn't you think? Would you feel different about Gabbert? I mean, I think probably you'd look at the stats and they'd look better. The drives would have been longer. Again, he still has a lot of areas he needs to be better at. There's no doubt about that.
And I would say the only – for me, the most glaring area that he needs to work on is just being in the pocket and that presence, which, we knew that was something that he wasn't comfortable with because that's not what he's accustomed to coming out. So that's a work in progress. And that's, to me, because he's going to make a bad throw here and there, but for the most part, he's been pretty consistent with getting the balls to guys. Mm-hmm. And once he gets out of the pocket, he makes pretty decent decisions, I think. The coaching staff, I don't think, has helped him in the two-minute situations. I don't think all the blame should be on him, especially as a rookie, because the guys around him that had experience have not helped him out, I don't think, at all.
Here's the other thing. If Rashad Jennings was in there and able to offer a little better, spelling of Maurice Drew than the Jaguars have been able to provide with Rashad out, I think that would have made a difference. My point is, don't give up on the rookie quarterback after – how many games has he been in there? Nine games? You don't give up on a rookie when he has the physical. If you see he doesn't have the physical tools, then fine. But you don't just give up on it and say, hey, that's it. Say goodbye. It doesn't make any sense to do that.
Yeah, Yeah, he's a good quarterback. He'll be a, he's still working. He's working for now. Where he is right now, I think he's doing a pretty good job.
All right, we're gonna call it a night. Frankly, it's I'm looking at these calls and everybody's kind of a lot of the same kind of stuff, and we've been going through the same things on and on again. So we're gonna wrap things up. The Jaguars lose 20-13 to the Houston Texans. Jaguars 3-8 on the season. We'll see. Now that the Jaguars are officially no longer in the race for the AFC South, does that change anything? Will we see changes between now and the Monday night game against the San Diego Chargers? Tomorrow night, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. They'll be in here with the general manager at 6 o'clock. On Tuesday, Jack Del Rio show, Brian Sexton and the coach. And then on Wednesday, it's Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna, 6 until 8 with Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and John Osher. Hope everybody enjoyed their Thanksgiving. Hope the holidays will treat you well. Jaguars, now it's all about development for the future. That's what the rest of this year is now all about. For Marco Coleman, for Ed Rocco, for Linda Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening, and good night from Jaguar Central.